Welcome to the Your Voice podcast, brought to you by ebodyguard.org and the eBodyguard app, available wherever you buy apps. Your Voice is a podcast empowering women to become a victor over victimization. We're changing the conversation about domestic violence and victims of trauma in America. This is Your Voice with hosts Melissa Faith Hart and Melissa Moore.
Well, so excited you're here today. We have a really important conversation to have. The name of this podcast, Your Voice, Changing the Conversation Around the Way We Look at Domestic Violence and the Victims in Our World Today. And excited to have with me Melissa Faith Hart. She is a former bigwig executive. I could rattle off her list of accomplishments. It's kind of overwhelming. But here's what I want you to know. Here in the state of Colorado, she put together the Colorado e-discovery system. Basically, Melissa, what is that? It helped all the computer systems in the different counties talk to each other.
So for the law enforcement, they used to drive all of their criminal evidence over to the district attorney's office.
Physically drive it. And that does not sound like a good idea at all.
Right?
Yeah.
And everybody in that day thought, well, you know, when they're watching television, that they actually had computer systems that were connected.
Sure.
And I thought in the day of the iPhone, why are they driving?
I had no idea. So you are a victim of violence from a young age.
Yes.
Domestic violence, rapes. You are now at a healthy place in your life. And
yes.
You decided, you know what? Besides creating this system here that allows the computers to talk to each other here in the state of Colorado, you took it a step further with eBodyguard. And this is a project you've been working on kind of R&D for the past couple of years. The app just came out in October of last year. Tell folks, first off, what is eBodyguard? And then we're going to talk about why you decided, because this is unlike any app you've ever heard of. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a woman, as a man, if you have kids going off to college, kids somewhere, you're going to want this app.
Exactly. Well, hopefully everybody does hear and want this app. So FBI CJIS compliance is kind of like HIPAA for law enforcement. We are the only FBI CJIS compliant personal safety app on the market, voice enabled. So if you say eBodyguard now, mm-hmm. we will hear you up to 30 feet in your purse, in your pocket, and then we will call 911 for you. Okay?
So I've got this app on my phone.
Okay.
I'm walking. Let's just say that I'm walking to my car.
Yeah.
I get grabbed.
Yes.
I yell eBodyguard now.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's activated.
Correct. And then it actually records the scene that occurs.
What do you mean, audio or video?
Today it's audio, and then this year we're coming out with video as well.
Oh my gosh.
And that is important for evidence in the court process. Why that mattered to me specifically is because so many times in these criminal environments, we have those he said, she said. In fact, in sexual assaults, only 2% of cases are actually convicted.
2%. So 98% of cases are what?
Well, unfortunately, 98% typically are no filed, never even see the light of day in court because there's not enough evidence.
So what does that mean? The person goes free?
Yes.
That's disgusting.
That's one word for it.
I mean, that is upsetting. It's disgusting.
And then the victim, like what I experienced at 20 years old, is left feeling not only victimized once, but re-victimized by the system.
And then now you also know, as a victim of domestic violence, that that person, that perpetrator, is out there.
Able to do it again.
And not knowing if you're safe.
Exactly.
All right, so let's go. We're talking about the eBodyguard app, but we're talking about a bigger conversation about domestic violence and the way we treat domestic violence victims and how we see them in the world. So your story, Melissa, starts at a young age, and you just mentioned a rape in your 20s.
Mm-hmm.
How did that help you decide you wanted to do something different? What was it about that?
Well, when he told me, meaning the detective that was on the phone, because he actually saw me at Porter Hospital, I decided to show up and get a rape kit accomplished. And I had bruises all over my body. And he psychologically had a conversation with me. There was a psychologist that showed up and he took the interview, the detective did. And he really fought for me. I felt that.
And he was very apologetic that he could not get the filing to occur. And he then gave me the number to the victim's advocate for me and said that they were going to be able to help me get some, you know, counseling support and be able to help pay for the medical bills for the hospital. I just stood there stunned and couldn't believe that that was the end of the road. And then through that process of the year that it took for me to even get back on my feet again, I would say, I don't know that it was that year, but it was probably several years later in my later 20s, as I became a Xerox employee, that I started to ruminate in my brain, is there a way for me to take the resources that I have and the thought processes that I'm learning here to possibly help other people in what I faced?
So you go through this traumatic rape. You know enough to go to the hospital and get a rape kit done. And yet nothing happened to the guy.
Nothing. Nothing.
Between when you got the rape kit done, when did that conversation happen with that detective where you basically knew this was the end of the road?
It took several weeks. I was interviewed several times, and they interviewed him, and I got a call one day at work.
At work. You're supposed to deal with this now at work.
Yes.
And that call, what was the point of that call from the detective?
For him to tell me that he was very sorry, but they just did not have any witnesses to the crime. And that even though they had my underwear and my photographs of all of my bruises, and that from the rape kit, it was very apparent that from the doctor's medical exam that there was tears in my vagina, that it could have just been rough sex.
So when you were talking about the importance of the eBodyGuard app, and you were talking about the he said, she said, is that what happened with your case?
Yes.
So you're in your 20s. You've been raped. You've been told that nothing's going to happen. You're working in corporate world. And this has been a few years ago. And you're putting together this thought that there's got to be something I can do. What were some of the thoughts? What were your visions? Because here, it took a while to get from there to here.
Oh, yes. So it's amazing what happened. It's almost like the universe begins to work for you. And at 25 years old or 24, when I began at Xerox, lo and behold, my very first job was given to me in the public sector arena. And I began working in government accounts. And my very first place to work in was with law enforcement departments.
Unbelievable.
Right? And who knew that I would be with my curious brain learning about copiers and printers and scanners and how law enforcement was to embrace it. And when I walked into the Fort Collins Police Department, they said, don't mess with them and their copiers because they're not very happy about the way that the copiers that they don't work for them very well. And I said, well, why not? And then they started laughing and they said, well, one law enforcement officer actually took the gun to that cannon.
Oh my gosh.
And I laughed at it and I said, okay, I won't mess with that law enforcement officer. So I eventually ended up converting that Fort Collins Police Department from cannons to Xerox. And in the process, then I was able to learn and follow the police around and learn about their business process, because they said, you want to know what it's like to have to deal with all of our paperwork? And I said, sure, I'd love to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to immerse myself in their world. And I got to actually put on their hat. And I got to see, oh my God, They're buried in paperwork. Mm-hmm. And stacks and stacks and stacks of it. And then I started to have some understanding of the case files, and that maybe that detective from 5 years ago really poured his whole heart and soul into trying to get my case, you know, really told well, and my story really told well. And how many documents did he have to put together in front of that DA's office only to be denied?
So you're looking at this stack of paperwork going, some of that could have been me.
Yeah. And so I then thought to myself, how much of this is wasteful?
Mm-hmm.
How much of this like gets in their way because we're not helpful to law enforcement in this day and age because of the redundancy that they have to deal with? So I started thinking, which I do a lot.
You're a thinker. Yeah. I can tell. I like it.
I started thinking, I wonder if I helped them, if that would help victims.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that could help stop some of the madness.
So you're looking at all this paperwork. You're working for Xerox. It's coming together. The pieces are starting to come together.
Yeah.
And is that when the first idea of, hey, that paperwork in Fort Collins is never going to be seen by the people over in Aurora or Denver, and how can I make that happen? Is that when kind of the wheels started turning for the Colorado e-discovery system?
Yes. So I knew that the only way for me to actually make all of this really effortlessly happen for the law enforcement was to go and get educated. So I went after some business process management, and I was supported by my boss to basically get the green belt that I needed in Lean Six Sigma. Mm-hmm. I went after that, and then I then moved jobs and, you know, continued getting promoted through the years. And then eventually Xerox actually bought what was called Affiliated Computer Services and then became Xerox Services. And so at 31 years old, I said to my customers at that point, I was convincing them not to print and copy, which is not good for the fact that that's a copier company. So I realized that my mind was really evolving and realized, okay, you need to jump and go to that side. So that was how I then realized, okay, I'm now ready to make this happen.
And we should mention that you're now in your 40s.
Oh, yes.
Just to kind of give an idea about how long ago this was.
Right.
And the fact that this woman working from Xerox is like, you know, you really shouldn't print that.
Right, right. I was teaching the law enforcement, essentially, you need to be scanning. You need to be much smarter. This is faster if you do it this way. Because all I'm thinking about is if you get fast, victims will be having swift due process.
Right. All right. So you get to that. You end up creating, and Colorado's e-discovery system, we're the only state
in the nation
that has this.
Yes, so far.
Okay.
So what happened eventually was that at 32 years old, the DA, George Brockler, the sheriff around, I decided to create a pilot. And then I showed the JBC, the Joint Budget Committee, and the Colorado District Attorney Council that it was possible, it basically, to, because I was working with a former NASA rocket scientist,
right,
to pull this all together. And then we passed a couple laws and we got it done. And now there's 363 law enforcement agencies that are all sharing data and pushing the data at the point of origination at the law enforcement records management systems, picking it up, moving the video and the audio and everything needed into the district attorney's office and moving it onto the courts.
All right. So that's part one.
That's part one.
So we get part one done. And part of your personal story, we talked about the rape. You had trauma as a child. You had not one rape, but two in your 20s. How comfortable are you talking about that?
Which part?
Just acknowledging it.
Yes, that happened.
Okay.
Yes.
So you have massive amounts of trauma, even though you're climbing the corporate ladder. Even though you're constantly thinking, how do I transform this trauma to help other victims? Am I right?
Yes.
And I love that you have this vision and this goal. Maybe it wasn't concrete how it was going to work out, but you talk about a goal of what, 20 years?
Yeah.
That's amazing. For 20 years to know that you're working towards something and to go back to school and to see the problem on a bigger scale, like we were talking about the law enforcement and the paperwork coming together. And then 2 years ago, you come up with this app.
Right.
And this all ties into kind of what we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, because you talked about how law enforcement can now use this app so it isn't just a he said, she said.
Correct.
How is that possible? Is it because of the audio recording? Explain how that works with the eBodyguard app.
So what they can do, because especially it is an easier victim locator for themselves too, when 911 is called today off of just your regular cell phone, mm-hmm. it's not necessarily that they're going to even know where you're calling from, but we have GPS location within 4 meters of the person. So they're going to find that person every single time.
That is 12 feet.
Yes.
I mean, look around. That's amazingly accurate.
So that's in addition to the fact that the evidence from your phone mm-hmm. is going to be absolutely backed up by our experts. And we know how to protect it with the chain of custody from our experts from eDiscovery.
And so by having all of this now linked and by me yelling eBodyguard now, and the recording starts and the 911 is called, and then my list of contacts that I've made as my emergency
right.
contacts, they're called. That's all I had to do to get help.
That's it. That's it. Now, if you don't want to say eBodyguard now because maybe the perpetrator is right there mm-hmm. and you want to be silent, we have an SOS button.
Okay.
As well.
Okay. Does the app have to be open to hit that SOS button?
It would, yes.
Okay. So the eBodyguard now, mm-hmm. you say it. And like you said, how many feet? 30 feet away?
Up to 30 feet, yes.
And all of a sudden, law enforcement now is triggered. And everything that's happening is recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have it on your cloud.
Yes.
And then because you said that the system is kind of like a HIPAA, is that correct?
So I explained it that way because everyone knows HIPAA and understands
correct.
It. But for law enforcement, we need to be FBIC just compliant in order for law enforcement to engage with us. Okay, so this is where I understand how to carefully move that criminal evidence from mm-hmm. your phone
right.
through the cloud into the law enforcement agency so that they can then use it for court and
right.
justice can be served for the victim.
And now because you've done part one of getting all the, everything linked together
mm-hmm.
and you took care of that, part two now... In, I'm talking, I think, more about kind of your vision.
Mm-hmm.
So part two now is the app.
Right.
And now there's evidence that can go right into these computer systems that are all now talking together.
Easy for us to do, especially in Colorado. And then we can easily also do that for other states because we understand how the systems work in other states.
How does that change the dynamic then of the he said, she said?
Because we have the audio evidence at the point of the origination of the crime.
I guess every case is going to be different,
mm-hmm.
but just having that audio has mm-hmm. got to be huge.
It is. It's another tool for law enforcement to use. So if you have a defendant sitting in front of you and they sit there with that evidence mm-hmm. and they have that person and they can say, we have you right here. We know and we believe mm-hmm. that we will get more pleas. We will get more guilties. We will get more people saying, I did it.
What has been the reaction from the law enforcement community?
We have a lot of positive affirmation saying, thank you for building this. Thank you for building this.
What have you heard from other women and men? Because I don't want to say domestic violence is only women, but women and men, what have you heard from them?
Nothing but support. Nothing but just, wow. Thank you.
Is there anything else like this out there?
There is another app that is similar, but they are not FBIC just compliant, and they allow you to sign on with Facebook, and therefore the defense attorney would be able to say that it's not admissible in court.
I think that's huge for people to know.
Yeah.
So as you go and you search eBodyguard, get it on your iPhone, get it on your Droid, I assume, whatever you can do.
Yep.
What kind of fees are there to have this app and the monitoring that goes on?
So it is right now in the Apple Store and the Google Play, $2.49 per month. But we have subscription models so that you can get it for free for a month.
And also there's a way through, if your university signs up or your corporation signs up, we have deep discounts.
What is your hope for this app?
Sorry. So I share with my best friend and life partner that for me, I don't care ever about making 1 cent, but I can't wait to hear the stories of the women's lives and the men's lives that are saved and the difference that is made because of it.
I think it's hard to see the statistics and see that 1 out of 3 women are sexually assaulted. 1 out of 5 men are sexually assaulted. 11% of college students will be sexually assaulted while they're there in their 4 years. And yet only 2% of rapists are convicted. Those numbers don't add up. And I can tell just by looking at your face and hearing you, this is the driving force why you're doing this.
Melissa, I know this is a very emotional thing. So we're going to take a break. We will come back for episode 2 because I want to talk about your mantra about going from a victim to a visionary, how finding your purpose can really turn everything around. And also, I'm really excited to talk to you about mutuality versus equality. I think it's going to be really exciting. That's all coming up on episode 2 of Your Voice. I'm Melissa Moore, Melissa Faith Hart. Thank you so much for being with us.
For more information on domestic violence and trauma issues, visit ebodyguard.org. The eBodyguard app is available at the Apple Store and Google Play. For help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the domestic violence hotline can be reached at 1-800-799-SAFE.
Your Voice podcast is presented by the Public Affairs and News Department of Bonneville, Denver. Thank you for listening.